Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to put an emphasis on about sleeping alone, because that's apropos for the topic we're going to have today. Welcome, everyone. This is Greg Masters, and you are listening to This Week in Health Innovation. And we are live from Marin County, California. And joining me, as always, in the virtual booth today is my partner, co-host, Dr. Pat Salvo. Pat, are you there?
I am, and I'm really excited about our guest today and the conversation that we're going to have.
Oh, yes. Me too. And I'm delighted to say that we've had a bit of a chit-chat on Twitter, tagging a few people who have an interest in this subject. And we're going to talk about public health and sexual health in particular, and drill into an area some have drawn attention to, like Alexa Drain at Eliza Corp, about the unmentionables. And unfortunately, too often, sexual health is relegated to the unmentionable pile of conversations we don't have. So our guest today is Stefan Broda. You're going to love this guy's voice. He's going to kill you. He's got the perfect on-air voice. And let me tell you a little bit about Stefan before I kick it to Pat and we learn more about what he does before we do. So Stefan Broda is originally from Germany, and he moved to China for college and stayed there for 8 years, where he worked at IBM China and co-founded the enterprise software startup BizSphere in 2007 that focused on how marketing and sales departments better manage their sales collaterals. He then moved to San Francisco, and within 6 months of arriving in the city, Broda volunteered at events like Gay Pride and Folsom Street Fair, also known as FFA, and I'll leave it at that, and admired the sexual openness of the city. He eventually founded Before We Do to make it easier for Americans to regularly test for HIV and STDs from the comfort and privacy of their home. And I direct you to our program description at blogtalkradio.com/HIVCTV for the FAQ and a list of in-home test or sample kits. So with that as background and context, Pat, over to you.
Okay, well, great. Stefan, I'm really excited to have you on the show today. And
thank you so much for having me, yes.
Sure, really our pleasure. So what I think where we should start is tell us a little bit about why you founded the company, maybe a little bit of the history of how you founded the company, and then we'll drill down into what you're doing and what you hope to accomplish with Before You Do. So it's Before I'm sorry, beforewedo.com.
Indeed, it's always two people, right? Most of the time.
Well, not
yeah,
always.
true. great start. So as Greg you said, so my background is actually not in sexual health or public health. I'm just a startup entrepreneur who came to San Francisco to do his next gig. And So as you correctly said, San Francisco is an amazing city, not only because it's, for me personally, it's the world capital of startups. It has an amazing infrastructure for meetups, and the VC ecosystem here is incomparable to anywhere else in the world. So that made me really happy coming here and being involved. And I did some other projects at first here in San Francisco to also to build up my war chest for my next bootstrapped phase. But then at the same time, I had a bunch of gay friends back in Shanghai, and I just felt really happy with that community. It's so much fun to go out, with my friends there. So when I discovered the Castro and all the different events and crazy events like Folsom Street Fair, that was very impressive. And you know, short not long, I actually get friends with people that volunteer, and that's how I got into, you know, was asked, hey, Stefan, you're a big guy, you speak a bunch of languages, do you want to come and volunteer with us? Yeah, definitely had big fun at the last Gay Pride, and then in Folsom Street Fair, it was actually an HIV awareness booth that a friend of mine was hosting. So I was spending the whole day at the Folsom Street Fair talking with people about STDs and the stigma, especially HIV, and then I just came back that night and I thought, darn, I mean, this is a really big problem, and we are in the startup mecca of the world. And, you know, nowadays we're used that startups solve all the problems. I was just doing a little research, how many startups in Silicon Valley are tackling sexual health, and I couldn't find a single one. And then I went to a bunch of hackathons. Hackathons are like a mini competition events, usually during one weekend, where, you know, entrepreneurs and coders get together and just test out new ideas. And this is really where a lot of startups are born. And I went to a bunch of those and promoted the idea, guys, let's do something about STDs and sexual health. And then I really felt the stigma, like, oh God, no, we don't want to work with this. So nobody, I mean, it's so cool to work with Google Glasses or making the next Uber, but you know, working on STDs, that's just so not cool. And it's really, really hard getting people in the Silicon Valley get motivated to work on that topic. So that was kind of an explanation for me. Okay, that's why there is no startup covering that topic. It's just so unsexy. And I thought, okay, I was actually going through the Founder Institute at that time, and part of that process is that you evaluate different ideas. And two important criteria, I think, really made me decide to follow this subject more. One was the amount of people affected. And when I did the research and read that there are over 20 million new infections of ST, of sexually transmitted disease happening in the States every year, that's just a huge number. And the second one was, you have to be realistic when you do a startup. Most startups fail. Over 90% of startups fail. So you end up working, you know, 6, 9, 12 months on an idea really, really hard. You're not getting paid. So pick an idea that's worth failing for. And that's really something that didn't let me decide to incorporate before we do in January.
And Stefan, do you know how much money is spent every year diagnosing and treating the 20 million STD infections?
Yeah, that's a huge market. So for HIV alone, it's projected to be $3.9 billion in 2016. And just some rough numbers I found for all STDs in the U.S. is around a $10 billion industry.
So it's amazing that I realize we're on the unmentionable topic, but the business opportunity is huge, let alone the opportunity to, all those people that you could help. And by the way sexually transmitted diseases work is that it's sexually transmitted. So
highly
undiagnosed,
social, yeah.
Untreated. Right, undiagnosed, untreated, with multiple partners means that, you know, it can spread through a community relatively rapidly. And HIV, you know, there was so many studies about the onset of HIV here in the U.S., and it was basically this whole epidemic entered the U.S. originally from one person. So huge problem, huge opportunity.
Absolutely. There are a number of interesting challenges, especially in this field. One, as you mentioned, the unmentionable, but also not only that we don't talk about it, often we associate certain personas with testing. So we did hundreds of interviews for the startup where we really in-depth talked with people, anonymously, of course, about their testing experience and why they would get tested. And often we hear things like, I don't need to get tested, I'm not a slut. And we say, it's nothing to do with you're a slut or not. And if you just imagine that most sexually transmitted infections are asymptomatic, so that people don't even know they have it, and they spread it and unknowingly. So it's really something that is nobody's fault, really. It's more an accident. And as long as we all, you know, get tested more regularly, this we can stop the spread of these diseases. And two other things, and they're kind of interconnected, is technology is changing, and that is actually why before we do. Why I started this company as well. We have now home testing coming along, and OraQuick is one of, I think, probably the champion here with their home HIV test. That makes it just really, really comfortable and less hurtful for people to test. And that is connected to the other topic, the testing recommendation. So last episode, I listened to your last episode, one topic was over-testing. That actually often procedures of testing patients can cause damage. And if you over-test, you're actually causing more damage than you prevent it. And that is changing for STD testing right now. So that's why the United States Preventative Task Force now changed their recommendations just in December to include all 15 to 65-year-olds in recommended regular HIV screening in their healthcare. And just because...
And when you talk about regular, Stefan... Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, Stefan. So I just wanted to get a sense of, when you say regular screening, is that mm-hmm. once a year, twice a year, five times a year? Is it related to your sexual activity and number of partners? Can you shed any light on that?
Did we lose Stefan?
We did.
I think we did. Well, hello, everyone.
Well, we're waiting for Stefan to call back in. Let me just say a few words about Stefan's website. So it's beforewedo.com, and he has he's a startup, so he has a couple of featured products that when he gets back on we'll want to talk about. One of which is a home chlamydia and gonorrhea testing, and it's $139.99. And another is a home test for HIV, including an Oraquick saliva test. And I actually was in training, Greg, at the time that the HIV epidemic started. It's ground zero here in San Francisco. And, you know, in those days, the testing was pretty complex. And the idea that and there was a lot of money, and we actually had a whole procedure as to how you ended up telling somebody what the results of their HIV testing was, because back in the early days of the epidemic, for anybody who remembers that, we really had no treatment for it, and most people ended up dying of the disease within 18 to 24 months. So completely different disease and outlook now with the advent of the kind of cocktails of drugs that are used to test this, and then with this in-home testing kit, which means that you can, if you're at risk, that you can take control by doing this home testing. On the site, it says that in-home test kit goes for $46.99. So when Stefan gets back, one of the things that I want to talk to him about is great. So. Well, while you were on your break, Stefan, we talked a little bit about we talked a little bit about the two kits that are on your site, and I just wanted to ask you a question before we dive into some other aspects of your company. So, $140 for a home chlamydia and gonorrhea is pretty pricey. Won't people say, geez, I'd rather just put up with the inconvenience and uncomfortableness of going to a clinic because then it'll be covered by my insurance? How do you respond to that?
You're very, very, very correct. So me personally, since I'm my first customer, so I bought this myself, and I also felt, oh, this is actually a little pricey. So two things. Actually, it's the cost of home testing for chlamydia and gonorrhea is actually less than if you go to a clinic. You just don't see it as a consumer because either your insurance pays it or you go to a free clinic. But actually, in one of the interviews, we had a woman going to her doctor, and she insisted to be tested for everything. You know, people often say, I want to get tested for everything, but then it usually is just gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HIV. But she insisted on everything, and she ended up paying $800 for a testing assay. So,
wow.
So actually, if you go to a doctor without insurance, we are a lot cheaper than testing with a doctor in an office. And then we are also working right now on getting insurances on board so our patients can actually pay with their insurance plan. So
that would be fantastic. Yeah, that would be mm-hmm. great if you were able to do that. So what's coming down the pike? As long as we're on the pricing, why don't you you've mentioned to me in the past that you actually can have a subscription. Why would I want a subscription?
It's just that when people are single and they're single for a longer and longer time and get married in even later than ever before, it's just a recommended activity to have regular testing made once a year or every 3 months. It really depends on the demographic and where you live and how many partners you have. And that is something we're offering our customers soon, that they can engage in a subscription plan, and then we actually automatically send them new test kits when it's time again to test, when it's recommended again to test. So they can just be a bit more worry-free about that regular testing aspect.
And, you know, it's really interesting when the vaccine for HPV, human papillomavirus, came out, mm-hmm. which is associated with cervical cancer. There were a lot of people on the more conservative.
We know from Michael Douglas.
And throat cancer, that's right. Yeah. So we'll have to send people to your blog to read about Michael Douglas and his disclosure about throat cancer and oral sex. But, you know, there was a pushback from, you know, the conservative community that having access to this vaccine could somehow spur, you know, kids to earlier and more promiscuous sexual activity. Someone could probably make the same case here. You're making it easier and easier for people to, you know, get tested for STDs. Are you not going to, you know, promote indiscriminate profligate sex throughout the country?
I think I probably am unqualified to lead a political discussion. I'm personally unaware of studies that have shown that inducing fear would actually stop people from doing what they're naturally born to do. But if a listener has some studies, I'm happy to read them. I think if people come into an age where it's natural to them to start to experiment, I think it's really important that you give them the health benefits they need and also the measures they need to maintain good health. So, for example, if some states, I think North Carolina is passing that bill, I'm not sure, but the discussion was should minors bring a parental consent for an STD test. And that's something, I don't think that is very effective. If kids already have sex and then they need their parents' consent to get an STD test, that will just lower the number of children that will get tested and then will increase the public health problem we have. So I think on a moral discussion,
Well, I was just going to say, can the minors come on your site and order the test themselves? Although I don't know how many minors would have $140 to plop down, but they could.
Right. They could, yes. Right now, I'm not aware yet of any legal restrictions on home test kits. Yeah. But if there are legal restrictions, then, of course, we will confirm with them.
And so, Stefan, since we're talking about legal restrictions, mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't too many years ago where you really couldn't have access to a lot of testing. You really had to go to your doctor and ask him for a test, or insist on getting a test. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey, your regulatory journey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so there are a number of regulations that are relevant here. One is HIPAA, for example. So since now this is an online platform, and potentially you will have your personal medical information stored in an online platform, there really needs to be a lot of security in place and regulations. So, for example, that employees of Before We Do or suppliers couldn't just access your data. So that is absolutely in place. And I think we are actually used to that already from credit card companies and other online businesses. We all manage our banking information online. So that is something definitely in place and important to maintain. And the other thing is, I think you're totally right. This is a trend that people now start doing their own healthcare, and it's some call it patient-led healthcare. And we see that with diabetes, for example, as well. Now you can have home finger prick tests where you give one drop of blood and you send in your sample and get your glucose and your blood levels sent back to you. So this is a trend we're seeing, and absolutely a new technology is making that possible. So for HIV, for example, our test, it actually has diagnostics built in. So after 20 minutes, you get the results. And then for the urine-based test and the blood prick test for hepatitis C, that is something you still send back. But stay tuned. In the coming years, we're talking to companies here in the Silicon Valley that I am developing DNA chips. So you would actually be able to give a saliva sample or urine sample at home into a plastic chip, a disposable plastic chip, that is also a lot cheaper than what is currently on the webpage, and you would get a result for an array of different diseases. So this is an exciting time, definitely, to look forward to.
Yeah, I agree. Are you talking to any companies that are using, you know, this technology like microfluidics or some of these other kinds of engineering, I guess is the word, bioengineering techniques, where you don't have to have a bodily fluid at all? Or is that really what the DNA chip is going to do? You said the DNA chip requires saliva, but some of these other technologies, I think, are going to be able to just touch. You're going to be able to just touch your finger without pricking the skin.
Amazing, amazing. I think that would be also very interesting for skin-related STDs like herpes or even HPV. If you just need to touch the skin and get a sample that way, and could tell which kind of strain you have. Yeah, I mean, the future is really exciting. Unfortunately for us, even if we see the prototypes, as we talk to the companies here, their FDA approval is often years away. So for a startup, that's an eternity. But definitely, it's a bright future to look ahead to.
So since we are talking startup and finances, tell us about your business model and how the outlook looks for you given the number of testing options that are available now, and how you see it projecting, say, over the next 4 or 5 years.
It's hard to predict quantitatively how the market will change, but if you look at the overall STD testing market, and we have like all the clinics, the Planned Parenthood, the hospitals, the private physicians, and then we have these new emerging online companies, and before we do, it's definitely one of them. Things will change. I think it will take some time for consumers to learn about the new options available, the home testing, and maybe some will not trust them. Once they find out that it's exactly the same technology that doctors use in the lab, and once some friends of them have done it as well, then I think this whole industry will change drastically. Because, frankly, I mean, I can say for me personally, I would rather do this testing at home and not be in a waiting room with other people that are very anxious about some burning they have, or have a. And if I have a conversation with a doctor, then it would be something I would like to seek, and not something I would like to be preached to by a doctor. And be maybe judged, like many of the people we interviewed, they were actually judged by their doctors about their sexual behavior, and this is just not very nice. So yeah, I personally strongly believe the industry will change drastically, which is why I left my job and founded this company.
And so, what happens if I have a positive test? I have to go to the doctor now with this positive test, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So this is also where the education kicks in. And we put a lot of stress in education. We just launched a video blog on our website with Dr. William Owen. He's one of the HIV medicine legends in the world almost. And he's on our medical advisor for team. And it's really important that we keep educating our users. And, for example, an HIV test is actually not testing for the virus itself, but for your body's reaction to it. So helping our customers understand the results and then act upon them is really important. So, for example, for a positive result, this is where, since we know where the delivery address was of our customer, we could then help them to find a clinic in their neighborhood. And then for less serious infections like chlamydia and gonorrhea, we're actually working right now on online clinics. So, and even having the consultation process and online as well, and maybe you could have a video chat with a doctor, and also do that in the privacy of your home, and then you would get an antibiotic prescription.
Yeah, that's interesting because there are these companies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, there are these companies like American Well and so forth that are and Teladoc and so forth that are doing video visits. So you could cut out this whole thing of going to the doctor's office altogether if you could home test and then have an internet chat. And well, you still need to get your hands on the antibiotic, so I guess you have to drive to the pharmacy, or the doc can arrange to have it delivered to you.
Absolutely. So but I totally agree. Even I think we're all anxious when we await our results from any test, and especially STD test, because it's so stigmatized. Hand-holding our patients with our app, and then also with hotlines where they can call if they seek guidance about the results. That's very, very important to us. So you're not left alone at home with some results. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's important. Do you have a sense at all of, and it may be too early for you to know this, let's say I do one of these home tests and I come back positive for chlamydia and I go to the doctor and I want to get treatment. How often is the doctor going to say, oh, well, I don't trust that home test, I'm going to repeat it, versus accepting the result and giving you the treatment? Do you have a sense for that yet?
For HIV, for example, it is always retested. It's because it's a different type of test that is done for confirming. So you would do a Western blot test or you would do a viral load test. And that is absolutely normal. In a lot of testing, for the first screening, we sacrifice accuracy for speed and cost. And that is totally fine. Absolutely. And I think for... Let's say if you had a chlamydia or gonorrhea positive result, we will have to see. We don't have the experience values here yet for a statistically representative answer.
And how often, particularly with HIV, how good you say you sacrifice accuracy for speed and cost? What kind of the thing you would worry about the most is that if I had HIV and the test came back negative, a false negative. Do you know what the negative rate is for the home testing for any of these kits?
Yeah, it's exactly the same as when you go to a doctor, because the test technology is actually the same, and it's 99% accuracy on false positives and 1 to 12 for false negatives. So in the really worst case scenario, if you had 12 different patients that had HIV, one of them would test negative, which is, by the way, why you shouldn't you shouldn't make that actionable. So if you met somebody you really liked for the first time that day and you went home together and you did one of those quick home tests, or even if you went to the doctor and did a quick HIV test, you should not make any decisions based on that, because if it's an antibody test, it can take up to 3 months or even sometimes 6 months for a test to turn positive if you have HIV. So this is really the main thing that consumers need to understand. You could even have HIV, but the test turns negative. And that's why regular testing is so important. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And so we're starting to wrap up here, but I think what I'd like to do is to give you an opportunity to talk about the promotion that you're doing with San Francisco Pride and the discount tests with a Pride Pass. Anything you want to say there? And we only have a few seconds left.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much. Yeah, Pride has been fantastic. That's been incredibly great support. Yeah, they made it possible for us to say thank you to the Pride supporters. So if people buy us, if they bought a Pride pass to support the Pride parade, then they get a big 15% discount on our test. So, yeah, that was, thank you very much for Pride. It was a fantastic event, and we had a lot of fun there.
Well, that's going to have to be the last word. Thank you, Pat, for an excellent interview. Thank you, Stefan. We've been speaking with Stefan Broda, founder of Before We Do, a rather interesting service for in-home testing for STDs, HIV, etc. Check him out on the web, beforewedo.com, and follow on Twitter, at Before We Do. This is Greg Masters for This Week in Health Innovation, saying bye now and see you next Wednesday.
Bye.
That was winner.